This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. So we're going to say that because it was pretty late when you guys shipped out. So let's just say you guys have like, they just tell everybody just take a short rest, you know, just to, because it's going to take a bit to get there and like, you're going to need all your, all the rest you can get and that kind of thing. So let's say that's like, just because I'm not going to go on the rules of D&D. I'm just going to say like a couple of hours and you guys kind of wake up and you're kind of still wary, but you're like not as much, that kind of thing. And Cyclops smiles at Soot and kind of walks by, walks to him. Sorry, my mind is racing too much. So, Soot, where, what form are you in right now?
Right now, I'm still in that Tabaxi form.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I don't think the Tibet going to change out of that. Yeah. But I did like accompany him with my loot. As the Tabaxi.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So he, Cyclops sees you, smirks, and comes and sits down beside you. Let's just say you're sitting somewhere. Sorry. I'm really directing this. I apologize, but believe me, I'll let you talk.
No, it's all good. Yeah.
This is a moment that must happen. Let me do it.
We're setting the scene, baby. Derek. I'm Derek the Tabaxi. Don't know why I didn't pick a Derek name that started with
T. Yep, like I've the done best with name
everything
forever.
Else. The goddamn every persona, but no.
What color is your fur? Did we establish this before?
I think it's a combination of like black and gray. I think I have it in my mind. It just every time I think I have a Skyrim character who's like black and gray, and he looks awesome. So that's what
I'm like my brother.
Oh, that's right. Cause black claws. Yeah. I think I look more like, we're related than anything else right now. Yeah.
Nice. Can I call you Grayscale? No, that's okay.
Grayscale. isn't that the disease from
Game of Thrones? No, it's not the Game of Thrones one, is it?
I think it's called Grayscale.
Funny. I was thinking of stuff, Yeah, I was thinking of it's the printer option when you don't want to do black and you don't want to do color.
That's the first thing that came up, actually. It's a different grayscale. No. Yeah. Grayscale. Yeah, gray. No, maybe not.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It is grayscale. Gray something.
Yeah.
It is grayscale, too.
Yeah, it's a dreaded, usually fatal disease that can leave flesh stiff and dead.
You know what I say to what's his face? Fuck him. He stole the printer option and made it into something else.
He was looking at his little Nokia whatever dot matrix.
Exactly. You know why it's taking him so long to make that last book? Is because he doesn't have anything else to rip off. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be done with my rant now. Those books are great. Okay. Are. So yeah, he comes down and sits beside you and he says, "A little birdie told me that you are a changeling."
A little birdie, eh? Hmm. A little birdie named Sid.
And he touches his nose. And he says, I feel like I've always known that when I see you as, and it, for some reason you're like, you're wondering why he's saying this and knowing this. He's like, when I see you as Kirik Woodwind and Von Rigg Stonesong, for some reason I always knew that they were the same person.
My jaw drops. You know,
I went my entire a lot has happened, and I went almost my entire life believing I was the only one who was like me, and now it seems there are others, and I seem to have a home that I'm not aware of, and it's become apparent to me that it is not as much of a secret as I had thought it was. So I guess why did you wait so long to say anything?
And he thinks about it and he says, "I've always had a lot of respect for you and your skills. And I know that in certain circles that people see us as opposition. It's a weird word to say because we are both songs people, and we know how to play our instruments well, and that's what we do. We're here to entertain. And I just wanted to say to you, if you ever felt any ill will towards me for the things I have done, I want to apologize and say they were not meant to be that way.
You always pulled the bigger crowds anyway, and I did have you sign my poster when you were live at the Palladium, so I just kind of, and so just kind of trails off after that. You had a fan in me, I suppose I could say, whether or not I wanted to admit it begrudgingly or not.
And I you. And he turns like to kind of shade his face. And as he turns back, he has a look of concern and he says, the one thing I am very concerned and beguiled about is that, is that the word I want to say? No.
Yeah, because now I'm going to do an inside check to see if he is Mr. Yeah, Dr. Beguiled.
Yes. Damn it. He's everywhere.
I'm just pointing.
Yeah. It was him the whole time.
It's the Mr. Dr. Beguiler.
He turns out, takes off his wig. But he's like confused and saddened but by the fact that I feel that you've lost your song.
Oh, most definitely. It's been gone both in the metaverse and also in this verse.
And he doesn't know how to take it. He just kind of like looks off to the side and kind of squints and like he doesn't know how to react.
I mean, you heard me when we were playing together. I'm a shadow of what I once was. This is getting real. I'm a shadow of anything that I ever thought I might have been. So, yeah, a lot has happened in the past few months. Have in world.
Probably weeks at this point.
Is this like day five?
Yeah, I was like, it seems like in our worlds, it's always like, oh, it was only Tuesday when this happened. But yeah, let's say weeks just to.
Yeah, okay. The last few weeks have been trying, and a lot of me has been affected in ways that I can only guess what I'll end up being after all this is said and done. And he sort of like references his unlit stars. Like, I'm beginning to think this won't have as happy an ending as I might have assumed.
Mm-hmm. He like hesitates for a moment and he kind of digs around in a bag that he has. He says, I don't know if this will be of any use to you. It is something that I have used myself and I feel like I don't need anymore, but I wonder if it is something that maybe can help you, but I don't, again, this is not me assuming that you will use it in any way, but I thought I would just offer it. And he opens up the palm of his hand and you see what's in our world, like a guitar pick. It is wooden. It is like almost like a cherry red. And it's got a bunch of like, almost like white lines through it that almost look like rings in a piece of wood, but just like, again, they're not straight, they're just curved. And he says this was passed down to me from my mentor. Not only does it have musical properties, it also has magical properties as well. It helps in ways that your mind will allow you to kind of bend the music to your own will. Again, I'm not expecting you to use it. I'm just offering it up.
Kind of look at it and just, why would you give this to me?
Do you take it or do you just look at it?
If he's offering it, I would allow him to put it into my open hand.
Okay. As it comes into your, as it goes into your hand, I would like you to roll a arcane like check for me.
Like an arcana?
Yes, arcana. Yep. Thank you. I'm gonna have the DL of it or whatever. I'm just gonna have it be a 10.
Okay, My Little Pony dice, 14 plus 1, 15.
Okay. As he places it into your hand, you feel a white light surround the guitar pick as it sits into the palm of your hand. And a tune of a song that you have played in your lifetime that is personal to you rings true to you. And you are the only one that you feel like you're the only one that hears it in your head.
It's a song I've played before.
Yes.
Okay. Oh. What is happening here? I'm sure you know what's happening inside of my mind.
He smiles. He says, in this time of like doom and gloom and things are happening and obviously like the end of the world can happen. Everybody can die like in any second. And he is almost giddy with excitement. And he says, I knew it. The song is not dead in you.
Cool. Yeah. I close my hands around it and get a little uplifted. Like, oh, this is a very nice gift. Thank you. But I don't know, as much as I enjoy what's happening right now, what about you? How can I accept this from you?
He says, a lot of what is going on right now, I feel like I'm just repeating what I just said. Anything could happen, right? Like I could be gone tomorrow. I want what's best for anyone, even you, my friend.
Well, don't forget I have it because I could be gone tomorrow. so you should reclaim it if that's the case. But I do very much appreciate the gift.
And he doesn't really know what to say. And he kind of like shakes his head a little bit and he just kind of gets up and just like shakes his head at you again with a smile and kind of walks away. Mm. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you what you have. So what you have is the pick of, oh shit, I had a name and I lost it.
I just started typing Destiny just because that's what everything is.
But
that's,
yeah, exactly. No, yeah. The pick of Destiny. Yeah, exactly. Jack Black breaks through. Yeah. Rage Cage plays a mean tune. Rage
Cage?
Yes. Oh my God. Tribute
all the live long day. But my buddy and I used to do tribute at open mic nights all the time.
That's awesome. The pick of usefulness. So at once per encounter, you can use this guitar pick to play a certain note that is imbued with a song that you have played in your lifetime. And if you succeed at a performance check of 10 or more, you will beef up your, I had an idea. So I had a couple ideas in my head. I'm trying to figure out which one to pick. Now I got another idea in my head. I'm like, oh, that sounds better. All right, let's say this. I'm going to give you the options. For the rest of the encounter, you can get a +2 to your attack, +2 to your AC, or you can use a spell slot without losing it.
So +2 to an attack for the rest of the encounter, or plus
yes,
two, or I can play it and then I can use. Is this like a, like as an action, I make a performance check, or would it be
yes,
like?
Yeah. So technically, that would have to be that would have to be one action to do so.
All right. +2 attack, +2 to AC, or use a spell slot without losing it. Oh man. Oh boysies.
And that's just and for the.
Oh, is that like those are the options, or I have to pick one and that locks it in?
No. I want to do that. You have all those options, except for I'm going to put the caveat on the spell slot with the ooh, I feel like it's too overpowered with the spell slot, because then it almost sounds like you could do that like every single time.
Well, no, it's just once per encounter, right?
Yeah. So you could use that. Yeah. Let's say like you use that spell, you don't lose it. But if you use it again, then you would lose it. So it would give you the spell twice, but you would lose it.
Yeah, right. Oh, like it's not like a perpetual thing. Like an active.
Yeah.
But then the +2 to hit would last for the rest of the encounter, and the +2 or the +2 to AC. Interesting.
And basically that Arcana check was you attuning to it right away.
Is that transferable? Like, could I direct the power of the music towards a target? Or is it only
you're trying to transfer it to a friend?
Well, yeah, because now I'm thinking of it in terms of the bardic inspiration, and I'm also thinking of Jack Black like hitting a note and blasting the devil.
Yeah, because with the spell slot, you're kind of doing that because you're probably doing something that's destructive. So it would be going at them. So yeah, why not?
So if I like wanted to give Black Claw plus two to AC for the encounter, I could just I could use it to blast. Okay, let me type that up.
Good.
Okay.
But every time you do, you have to say rock and then just, throw it at
rock. Yeah, right. I'll do that. One of three things. Okay. So it's like to myself or a target. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Thank you. I will I'll type that up here.
Or in generic fantasy game parlance, one creature.
Yes.
There you go.
Right. Like I could target's like, I'm gonna give it to that lamp over there.
Hey, knowing our games, I would not be surprised.
All right. Plus two. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to wait for me to. I'll.
Okay.
I don't know. Are you hearing me type? I know the other day we were having an issue.
Okay. I cannot hear using my... Unless you can hear it, John.
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Zoom's pretty good at doing it as long as getting rid of it, as long as you're not just going bonk, bonk, binky bonk. Like chicken pecking, like my dad does, or like my boss does at work. I'm like, oh my God, put your hands on the keys for crying out loud.
So right. I think Cyclops probably approached while I was like away, like getting us some coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm coming back to the table and I see that whole thing happening and I'm like, okay. And then it like continues. And I see some shrugging and like, so I wait for him to leave. And then I come up and I put my little cup of milk down and I give, Soot his coffee, and I say that what was that about? That seems strange.
It was he gave me, as I show you the pic, he gave me a gift, a musical gift from a musical friend.
A friend, you say?
Yes, sure. We've had our we've always been at odds, but it was really just like, it's really just, a lot of my jealousy would get in the way, but we probably spoke about that. He's better than me. I knew we've known this, but it was a nice interaction. He seems to have always known that I was a changeling, So that's, maybe I didn't keep that as much of a secret as I thought I had. I mean, you always knew.
Out of the saucer, and there's milk dripping all down my muzzle.
It's all wet.
What?
I just kind of shoot you a look like, right, yep. Maybe I'm not as secretive about that as I thought I was.
Do you think he could smell you as well? That is, how I know. And he taps his nose.
Probably, yes. I mean, right. I kind of put my head down. It's like, I don't know. This is good. This will serve you. This will be useful. This pick of usefulness in whatever trials we have coming up.
Well, let us hope so.
Yeah. My two stars are going to light up, aren't they, tomorrow?
Well, I hope not. You seem to be the only one. If they do, I'm going to assume that's bad.
So do you think you should probably, if we're going along here and we're trying to get, I believe we're trying to get to this book, The Story of the Dismal Sea. That's what I have in my notes.
Yes, yes.
As I show you my moleskin notebook. this journey we've been, the boat journey here we've been on, I've been thinking, we probably shouldn't let the stars light up.
I don't think we have anything we can really do to prevent that at this point. And he kind of like gesticulates at his chest.
I kind of I stare at you like, yeah, we do.
and then I stop and I kind of cock my head and I look at you and I'm like,
no, I've been thinking about this. No, this is real. I mean, you might not, you might want it to happen. We know this.
Well, no, I mean, no. I mean, certainly I don't want to do whatever it is that you're suggesting.
I know, but these are the times of hard choices. I mean, you may not have asked to be this harbinger, and now I'm all wrapped up in it. And now I've got, two more stars. I don't know anything about them, but I know that if one of them lights up all of a sudden, while we're over there doing this, like we're getting closer to whatever. I'm assuming that's it. You're either going to get everything that you've ever wanted, or you can try to stop everything that you've ever wanted from happening.
We are on a quest to prevent this situation from happening. Whatever happens, we will face it together.
Okay. Yes. I'm not looking forward to this. You know, I was never not much of a fighter. So we'll see. We'll see what can be done. And so just kind of like, he's just looking nonplussed. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, whatever it means, that's what he looks like.
Black Claws, roll me a perception check.
Yeah. Nonplussed works.
Oh, so that's a one on the die plus.
You don't have to add anything.
Is a three.
I love when people say that. I love when people add stuff to a one. It's like, no.
Is a three enough? Nah. Is it enough?
Well, yeah.
Depending on how you play it, a skill check, a natural one isn't necessarily a.
Yeah. Well, to me, a one is a fail. So
yeah. I look wistfully off into the distance.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You for some reason, something like you feel like something important should be happening, and then you smell a fart. It's just like something's very, you know, maybe you don't smell a fart, but you smell something very like just disgusting. You're like,
okay. I see a bird, and I'm just like, what?
Exactly. I hate to interrupt this, but I've been watching or been listening to the new season of Nerd Poker, and someone's playing a tabaxi. And when he talks, he says meow before everything. Meow. And then he says it like it's like I'm like, that's funny. Still not as good as John, but still. Or Black Claws. OK. So time passes on and things are starting to actually feel more tense. You can tell people are, instead of like having conversations, they're just kind of like sitting, contemplating. Some people are looking off the side, waiting for the shore to come to arise over the ocean floor, or the ocean tops, whatever you want to call it, over the waves. And there's hardly a peep. Things have really quieted down. Sid kind of appears out of nowhere and says, "We will be approaching soon. So everyone gear up, get as prepared as you can be. We will be coming ashore quickly." And no one really says anything. People just kind of like assume like, okay, this is what we're doing. People are putting packs on, sheathing swords, checking bags, making sure that they have potions and magical items and all that kind of stuff. People are attaching, you know, gauntlets and what's its galore. And as everybody is kind of doing that, you come upon the scene of Ugad. It looks almost eerie.
Nice.
It looks kind of eerily similar to what you saw in the hole when you met those two young Abalos. It's parts of yellow, but also like constant, like rotating of like what it looks like mud. And it looks very wet and very movable and very, trying to think of the words for it. Like, it's almost like you're looking at the ocean, but it's earth, like wet earth. You can tell that the land has been depleted of anything. There's buildings that are toppled over. There are things that are charred. There are, you can see, you can see a lot of different, or what's the word I'm thinking of? It's not enemies. It's dangerous things. God.
Foes?
Huh?
Foes?
Foes, yes. Yeah. There's one word I had in my head. Of course, I'll never get it right now. But
adversaries?
Yeah, something like that. Damn it. Anyway, you know, obviously dangerous things are out there. And they make up this land now. The one thing that is still incredibly surprisingly intact is what you would assume the library to be. It is massive. It's looks like it's like 10 stories tall, just that many wide. It also has been kind of run down on the outside by what has transpired here. And it looks menacing. And there's actually a dock that's close to where the library is at. And Sid just starts kind of barking orders. He says, okay, everyone, what you see is basically what you get. There's going to be a lot of dangerous things out there that are not going to stop until they probably try to take us out. The one thing that you probably will have that will be good is to be inside this library itself. From what I've heard, it's still... God, I'm just not coming up with the words I want today.
The protective wards are still active or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, you know, it's still very fortified. That's the word I was thinking of. So you're going to have to make sure that when you're in there, keep your eyes open and just trust that the library will keep you safe from things from the outside. Now, from what I've heard, there may be things on the inside as well. Things that have once lived that have not lived for centuries. Or not for centuries. Let's just say for years. So even though this will be a... He kind of... Again, because I can't think of a fantasy version of quotation marks or whatever. He's like, a safe haven, there will still be dangers within. So you must take care. I cannot join you there. I will keep my ship out here, and I will have me and my crew will have to protect it, because I know that there are dangerous beings that will try to take this thing over. But I want to make sure that I am ready for when you leave.
Keep the engine running.
Is Jorfin nearby where we're standing?
Yeah. Let's just say he's like looking at Sid, just taking everything in.
So I just lean over to him and I say, do we have any idea of where the book may be? Any reports, any legends? It is quite a large place.
And he says, yes. He says, I do have
spit it out.
He pushes up his glasses. Excuse me. Give me a minute. He says, yes. He says, I actually have a spell. I knew of a person who has actually read this book. He has passed away recently, but, and he like holds like a glove in his hand. He says, I do possess an item that he once used, and I can use the spell with the glove to find out what he has touched with his own hands. And he says, I can, that spell will bring us to that book.
Okay. Should make things much easier. Make sure you stay with us.
And he says,
if that fails, we can just find the card catalog.
Oh, also an astute observation.
He says, yes. I mean, this is a large library and it probably would take a lot longer to do it that way, but I like where your head is at.
Give me a decimal system.
You know what's funny? As I was trying to think of that, and again, because my brain sucks, I couldn't think of it. And I'm glad you thought and you said it, because the Dewey decimal system is the best thing ever.
It is.
Could be under history. Okay. Could be under a cult.
Yeah, he says. I think both of those are correct, because it has both of those. Boy, I'm really fucking getting mad at myself here for not thinking.
Easy, Jordan. Yeah, it's okay.
It's been a long few months. He says, yes, I think that information is both correct. I think, whatever. I can't spit out what I'm going to say, so I'm keeping it. People are going to hate it. I don't care. Okay. So, So you guys get onto the, go onto the dock or whatever.
But before we do that.
Yes,
I pull a potion out of my pack and I thrust it at Soot and I say, "Take this. This is one of the potions that we stole from you know." He kind of gestures to Deandra.
Yeah, I was like, "Are you going to keep that secret or what?"
Don't let her see it. But this is the steel skin potion. It lasts for 3 minutes. You'd be immune to lightning and cold, but immune to piercing and slashing. So, I, you know, it's a trade-off. I think it would probably, it'll probably help.
Don't you want to use it?
What? No. And he like waves his hands like in a, you know, very like extravagant fashion and casts mage armor.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. I'll take it. I go ahead and take it.
Put it in my equipment thing. Ugh, type it here.
Steel skin?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I see you're marking it in your journal.
I'm writing it. I'm just writing it down just to make sure I never lose it, you know?
The description. It may be one of those things where we just carry it forever. Maybe stick it in a barrel. We could always come back for it later.
If you feel like you're being kind of weighed down. Definitely going to remember to use it.
I mean, we have it. We might as well use it, right? I mean, even if we don't really need it.
Exactly.
Oh, look, there's the dock.
There's a dock here. Let's get out on the dock.
So you guys go on the dock. Luckily, it's hardy enough where, nothing falls apart or anything like that, even though everything else is pretty decimated. People that start kind of going on the dock, too, they start moving like they're going to go towards the ground to get to the library. And there are a few people. Well, actually, there are a few people at the end of the dock going on to the land, and they stop because they have not seen this, how this earth is, and they're perplexed by it. They're like, they're asking each other, like, do we go on it? Do we, someone's like, I can fly you over, and that kind of thing. And they're like, well, I don't know. If we fly over and somebody falls, will they drown? People are just really perplexed by what's happening.
Oh, no. Don't step on that. It's not great. If we could find a path around it, it's probably for the best.
No, literally the whole ground is all like that.
The whole ground is like that.
Yes, it's all like that.
That's not great.
I test it. I test it with my feet. Can we stand on it?
You test it with your feet.
I have one foot on the dock. One foot on the dock. I kind of reach out like, oh. Does it feel solid?
Yeah. Roll me a
death save.
Yes. Yep. You're dead. Roll me an athletics check.
Perfect. 11 plus 12.
Okay. So yeah, you like go to kind of go on it, and you're like, you almost like kind of fall over at first, and somebody grabs you, kind of steals you or whatever. And you're like, okay, I'll just, and you touch the ground and it feels wet, but your foot does not sink.
Oh, this terrain feels difficult. We're going to have to move at half speed.
If we use a double movement, though, we could move as fast as we would in a normal round.
But we'll lose our action if we do. Okay, so I can stand on it. It's just this is slow going.
If we were both playing monks, this would be so much easier.
Oh yeah, we'd have like 17 moves. We cover all this.
Yeah, and I
can punch 900 times.
the library is like 800 feet away, or 800. No, 80 feet away. Why did I say 800? About 80 feet away.
All right. I mean, I guess we make the trek, right? Let's just, everyone keep your wits about you.
And keep moving. Don't stop.
I look down at the stars. Has one of the stars lit up?
Hey, when you step on the ground?
Yeah. Hey, can I get that ritual dagger back?
If anything happens, I'm just going to kill myself.
I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm just going to get rid of it.
I squint.
Yeah, no, you're none of your stars, none of the rest of your stars light up.
All right, let's just keep an eye on that.
Let's go.
We start running on the wet dirt.
Okay, what are your guys' regular movement?
It's 30 feet.
Okay.
Unless we're going to double. So if we double move, then it's 30 feet per
per turn. 30.
Okay, so he was right. You're going to have it. So every time you double move, you're just regularly moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so essentially we're just running, right?
Yeah.
So we're not standing in place. So like we don't sink at all or, whatever, if that's like a possibility.
Yeah. So like, yeah, you guys kind of start walking or running. You just said run. I said walk. Okay. you guys just kind of start taking off and everybody kind of follows you as well. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this just because I always like to know how people are going. Are you going ahead of the pack? Are you letting somebody else go in front of you? How is that happening?
I guess we're in the front because we have Jorfin and he's got the glove and Soot tested the stuff.
Yeah, I tested the we're leading the way. Yeah, yeah, of course we're leading the way.
Yeah, okay. All right. Sounds good.
We're the heroes. This is our story.
That's right. We're in fucking front. What do you mean? Okay. Yeah, so you guys do the double movement. You get 30 feet. And yeah, so you can continue on your way if you like.
Yeah, I think we do so.
I think so okay. too.
All right. I want you both to roll me perception checks, please.
Do it.
I will do so, but not with the previous die. This one's not any better. 4 plus 2 is 6.
3 plus 2 is 5.
All right. So you were both running at a really good clip. You're both kind of trying to look at the side and stuff like to the side, just seeing what's going on and stuff like that. And you're looking up and stuff like that. And as you, for some reason, you both kind of in tandem, like look up, and then you are both met with, you both kind of collide, but you collide into each other at a rate where it feels like a strong wind has hit both of your sides and pushed you together.
Oh no.
And you were both knocked to the ground.
Ah.
Oof. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Oof.
What happened?
And just like what happened to you two happens to other people. You see people running into each other. You see somebody like get thrown to the side. People are just kind of like looking back and forth, like what is happening?
Make a natural check.
And you hear somebody in the back say, "I think I saw something, but it was so hard to tell, but it looked like something was moving and it was running into everything." And you hear somebody call to arms. You and people like start kind of taking wands out and
gearing up.
Yeah, kind of gearing up or whatever. I would like you both to roll an initiative for me.
Okay. I think the three of us are back to back.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, kind of like not three of us back, you know, but like in a kind of.
Yeah. In a triangle.
Pyramid shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the? 7. I'm going to run out of dice to roll. I don't.
Yeah. You need to start throwing them away. I can get you some more if you want.
No, two of the ones that failed with Gracie's dice.
Oh, shit. No, don't get rid of those. You know what? We all have bad days and good days, right?
That's an 11 for Sutsky.
Sutsky? All right. Give me a second. I'm going to write down. Oh, that's funny. Okay. So we got Soot with an 11, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And BC with a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to roll some other rolls, guys. You're going to hear a lot of dice hitting the table. Don't worry about it. You'll be all right.
No, we have a whole posse with us. It's fine. They're going to handle all the rest of this.
Exactly. You're going to be all good. All right. We got Jorfin got a 12.
Oh, we're killing it.
Not great, but better than you two. What else we got going on here?
He's so much better than we are.
Yeah, that's right. He is. He's just the best of you guys.
Experience with having.
He's my Cyclops.
Well.
And I didn't even get a pick out of the deal.
Luckily for you, the rest of your crew, the rest of your posse got an 18, so that's good.
Ooh, there you go.
Yep. We'll just see how everybody else does here.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah. Just give all the good guys initiatives.
Oh.
Okay. So the one guy that kind of yells out to arms kind of thing or whatever, he says, he's like, "I think I see it." And he just kind of does a movement with his hands, and then he pulls his arm back and a javelin appears.
Ooh.
With embedded in red. And he just looks like he looks like he's throwing at nothing and launches this javelin into space, basically.
Ooh.
And it hits the ground. And then just sits there. And he's just like, You could tell he like curses in something dwarven. He's dwarvish and he's just like, he's like, I could have sworn I've seen it. And some of the other group, they're like all like swords are like flinging into nowhere. And like people are like taking lightning and flashing it into the sky and nothing is hitting anything at this point.
Maybe we just got to keep moving. If we can't see it or hit it, we got to keep moving.
Yeah, maybe we move it like half speed then and then just be ready with an attack.
Yep. So then
everyone ready in action.
So like Jorfin's like, you really want us to run into like nothing?
No. Keep continuing towards the library.
Yeah, we need to get to the library.
But what could be in front?
The library is the only thing that matters.
Okay. And he takes off. And
I didn't say run. Ah, shit. Come on.
Move at half speed or you'll lose your action.
Yeah. To tell you the truth. Yeah. He takes off. You should have said half speed. Then he would have done that.
I did say half speed tonight. So
we did.
Did you say out loud? Did you say it out loud to him? All right. I'll take it actually under like advisement and I'll say he does. He does like, he yeah, like, just... he's like, how do I do it? You know, he's like, kind of like trotting, like, you know, that kind of thing. And he's still looking from side to side. Yeah, exactly. Am I doing it, guys? And he looks just really terrible.
Stay alert and keep moving towards the library.
He looks like me when I'm dancing. So, yeah. So he's, you know, just trying to do the best he can to kind of keep a lookout, but also move as fast as he can.
Just think mall walker. Think mall walker.
He's like, okay. And he makes it another 30 feet.
We're right behind him, I guess. I don't know if everybody else is trying to follow.
If we can't see anything to hit, then yeah, we got to just keep moving.
Yeah, for sure. Soot, I would like you to roll me another perception check, please.
I will do it.
He didn't ask me because he knows I can't do it.
I'm going to switch the die. Perception. Oh, 17 plus 2, 19.
Nice.
All right. So, like, you're kind of doing the same thing. You're like half running, half walking kind of thing, trying to go as fast as you can. And at the corner of your right eye, you see something that almost looks like a tornado of yellow come towards you on your right side.
Oh, boy. I pointed out a tornado of yellow to the right. And then am I up or do I do?
You are up.
I pointed out to anybody who can see it.
Okay.
It's a tornado of.
Can we mechanically have readied actions, or I don't know how that works in this
situation. I would say since you were doing the half speed thing and you weren't like doing a full out sprint, I think you can ready an action. So like if something is coming at you like that, you can either A, try to defend it, or B, try to hit it, but that would also possibly get you harmed as well.
I mean, I would attack it, right? I mean, it's like if he points something out, it'd be like, oh, bzz, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so this is up to you.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a shot at it with my crossbow, my hand crossbow, as we are moving towards the library. So that is what I'm going to do. So that is, I gotta roll. I remember how to do this. Ugh. 6 plus 5, 11.
Nope. So,
shoot right by it.
So basically, you write your crossbow and you're just kind of scared because you're like, what am I seeing? You know, that kind of thing. and you shoot towards it and it's almost like it has a mind of its own. It goes straight, but then it goes like, it's like something deflects it and goes straight up into the air.
Do you point out that it's there?
Yeah, I shout.
Yeah, he did.
I'm gonna use my bonus action to give you bardic inspiration as I shout to you. I go, there it is. Don't shoot a crossbow at it.
I take that and I put it in my pocket.
Yes, you do.
I've got a 19 to hit with an agonizing blast.
Nice.
So it's sort of like a purple, green, yellow, black sort of loathsome energy just erupts from my fingers. and shoots out towards this yellow tornado type thing.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So, I'm sorry. What did you use to hit it? I was too busy doing other things. I apologize.
Agonizing blast.
Agonizing blast. Awesome. So when you blast this thing, it looks like a small tornado of yellow. And when it hits, it's almost like when you turn a light on and something is like, you know, like illuminated, like, and it's almost like when somebody flashes like an old camera and then it just poof, and then something appears, you know, like it looks like it's still pretty, it's like corporeal in where it looks like it's kind of got arms and legs, but they're all kind of demented. And then it has a its face is kind of almost like it kind of has like this kind of like a skull kind of face, but then it rounds up and it's kind of got horns, and the eyes are hollowed out in yellow, and it kind of makes this screeching noise. And and looks at you, and it doesn't strike fear in you, but it definitely throws you off.
It tries to strike fear in you.
it does 9 points of damage if it matters.
It does. Yep. And yeah, it howls in this pain, not because it's really hurt necessarily, but more because it's more shocked than anything.
Mm. There it is. Get it. he starts yelling. Is it the only one? Well, I guess it's the only one we see at the moment anyway.
Yeah, that's the only one you see. Yep. And as it kind of, gets that look in its eye, you can tell it almost tries to peer into your soul, Black Claws, and it rushes towards you. Oh, and as you're just about to like defend it or see it coming, it disappears again.
Oh no, shit.
Where'd it go?
I don't know.
What is your AC?
16.
All right. And you feel a whoosh of air as it comes at you, and it misses. Tell me how it misses.
I don't even see it. it's coming rushing at me like we lock eyes to skull pits. And it, you know, shrieks and starts barreling towards me. And I just kind of like waiting, like, oh, shit. And as it gets really close, I just duck because it looks like it's just barreling towards me. So he just ducks. He gets real low. And, you know, I guess it just sort of like sweeps over him. You see his fur just kind of like come up and ripple, you know, like along his head and his ears and everything. It's over here. I think it went this way.
Oh, I can't see it.
And like in the distance, just off a little bit, there's a little kid that's been brought here because their parents brought him with. Because, well, if it's going to be the end of the world, they want to spend their last moments with their kid.
That's true. That's true. Yeah,
you know, I should have let that child on the boat. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
and the kid kind of sees you duck that thing, and he's like, wow, mister. Wow, man. I don't know why I had to add that, but I did.
It was very much I appreciate it.
He stands up and puts his hands on his head. What a child. It doesn't make any sense.
Everybody stops and turns back at the boat like, who brought this kid?
There's literally only one child in all of everything.
he's like a Dickensian kid with like, you know, ripped clothes and a fucking stocking cap.
Exactly. And that's why he's so excited. He's never seen action before.
Wow, mister.
Covered in all coal dust.
Yeah. Because of all the child labor back then.
That's right. All right. So you kind of point like it's over there kind of thing. And this tall Goliath rushes and jumps and grabs this thing and holds on for dear life as it goes straight up in the air.
Oh boy. Well,
And she yells, somebody knock this thing down. She's like, you can tell she doesn't even care if she gets hit. She's just like, oh boy, somebody smack this thing. All right. Jorfin goes,
no.
Jorfin's not about fighting at all. He's just like, you know what? I guide you. That's all I do. I'm just the guy that guides. Give me a second. Sorry. He pulls out a small book that almost looks like one of those small address books you used to have. That's just like really tiny. Oh. And he like flips furiously and he stops at something and he chants a couple of words. And one of his stars bops out of his existence. And he says, make clear. Make clear? Is that what he say? Make clear. Yeah, sure. Make clear. And then it shouts out of his throat. And it goes in the direction of the two. And it hits both of them. And it kind of throws it off. The evil creature is made seen again and is just kind of thrown off by what's happening, and they both start falling towards the ground.
Oh boy.
Soot, is your turn.
If she were a cat, she'd land on her feet, but she's in a big way.
Yeah, she's super high. That's gonna be a problem, right?
And you can see as you're watching them struggle, like she is actually maneuvering herself to where she's trying to do almost like a Superman thing where she's like trying to grab him and like put his body like forward. So like it hits the ground before she does.
Oh, so they're still entangled.
Yes. And they're falling.
Oof.
I mean, there's no shooting into melee rules, right? I mean, just don't roll a one.
Well, I was going to cast Feather Fall upon her so that she didn't slam into the ground.
Yeah. And then he would have it too.
Yeah, just by osmosis.
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, unless she lets him go. Yeah, I mean, you can yell at her, let him go.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Now, it's a reaction, so I'm just using a reaction. So I think what I'll do is, I'm going to cast Feather. It says up to 5 fallen creatures within range. Oh, wait, what's the range? Range is 60 feet. Does that make sense? Is she 60 feet up?
Yeah, we're all good.
Okay. That's a lot of feet to fall, right? She's going to get hurt.
It's like 1d10 per, isn't it?
Yeah, she's a big being, but all she right, might get hurt.
I'm just gonna. Oh, you know, wait, what's? Oh, what's an action? Okay, doesn't mind. All right, I'm just gonna scream at her to let go, and then I'm gonna cast Feather Fall on her. Maybe when she starts to feather fall, she'll be like, "Oh, I can't hold on to this thing while I'm falling this slow." And then with my action, I'm going to cast Thunderclap and just try to put some damage on it. It's I create a burst of thunderous sound that can be heard up to 100 feet away. Each creature within range other than you. Like, I want her to, I want to get some, I want some distance from this thing falling. And then,
okay. You'd have to wait at the exact moment.
Yeah.
So where she wouldn't get hurt as well.
Yeah. That's what I'm just like, just let go. And I cast Feather Fall. So she just falls and then it starts falling. And then when it's out of range and it's the only thing in the area there, I'm just going to blast with the thunder damage. So it has to succeed on a constitution saving throw. It's got to beat a 14.
Okay.
Doesn't do much damage, but.
Oh, that is a 20 total.
Ah! So just pop off some thunder crackles around it, but nothing happens.
Yeah.
No half damage. That sucks.
Yeah, and no, I just—it's a cantrip. I'm trying to.
Oh.
Yeah. So like, she even like is not that far away, and she's like, "Shit!" You know, she just like thinks she's gonna get hit by this, you know. And she falls to the. Lightly falls to the ground. Yes. All right, Black Claws.
I blast out another agonizing blast.
Okay.
That's a nat 20, baby.
Nice. All right. So we haven't done this in a while. So you can do one of two things, which is, again, why would you do this other thing? But you can get a benefit to use later, or you can do double damage, no rolls.
I will do double damage, no roll. That is going to be 28 damage, sir.
Nice.
Very nice. Like that.
And this dark eldritch energy just shoots out and sort of like engulfs and crackles and squeezes around him. It, them,
yeah,
creature.
Yeah, exactly. And this time it's not wailing from the surprise, it's wailing from the pain. It's it sounds different this time. The noise is such an excruciating noise that you can tell that it has been damaged severely and it does not like it. And as it's kind of falling to the ground, it hits with a sickening thud.
Ooh, that probably hurt.
Sickening.
It's like a squelch. I think
because of the difficult terrain. Yeah.
I don't think he saw it coming, though. He didn't have any eyes. It probably was a surprise.
Yeah.
And you realize that for hands, basically, it almost looks like almost like shovel hands almost, except for they're more pointed. And it digs both of them into the ground, one after another, and it leaps towards you, Black Claws.
Oh shit, I thought it would be dead. Fuck. Go.
Ooh, man, another miss. This time it goes like it's going to take both of its shovel hands, and it like sweeps in like a motion, like it's gonna chop off your head.
And he just like
wrong movie.
Yeah,
Matrix.
So, like leans back, puts one paw on the ground, and then like kicks back up again.
Yeah, John Wick from the Matrix. I get it.
He does it all, so you could basically call him all those names.
Yeah,
John Keanu. So yeah,
Keanu. So, yeah,
and it it misses you again and it screams horribly. It screams into, in fact, where I would actually like you all both to roll me a constitution saving throw, and you have to beat a 15.
Oh boy.
That's only a 12.
Oh God, 16, 17. Oh.
Okay. So Black Claws, great. Your ears are filled with a reverberation.
Oh, do you have the, what do you call it? You can't use it now. The
Bardic Inspiration? I haven't used it yet.
Yeah, do you have to wait before you hear the result, though? I think you have to wait before you hear the result, unless we're being lax on that.
Well, he said we had to beat a 15, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you want to use it, use it.
But is it a D6?
Yes.
That's another 4, so that's a pass then.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So, you two don't, but.
Oh, no. Jorfin, no!
What? Lots of other people, not Jorfin, thank God.
Oh.
lots of other people just start going to the ground and screaming. Some people actually start throwing up. Others start crying, and you look at them, and their blood is coming out of their eye.
Oh.
The reverberation is just so massively gross that it throws everybody's equilibrium off and physical nature off in certain ways.
We have to finish this thing off. This is terrible. They're not going to be able to run. Look at like he's throwing up.
I said, I take out my blunderbuss and because I just remember I have it and I go, agreed.
And he cocks it, even though you can't actually do that.
Yeah, it doesn't. I just flip it around like a Terminator.
So, as that happens, the other people that aren't affected by it are just all of a sudden just get upset. And literally you see 7 different beings at the same time throw stuff at this being. There's like, you know, that one guy throws a javelin. Someone else jumps high in the air with a sword. A couple other people like throw like one person throws like lightning. The other person like throws acid. And this being all of a sudden out of nowhere just kind of crouches down and a globe of yellow engulfs it. And those things just bounce off.
Oh, you fuck.
And even though it's not being, you can tell it's really not being injured. It still makes a shriek within the contained bulb, but luckily nothing hurts anybody.
He shrieks within the bulb. Did he make his own eyes bleed?
Yes. Yes. You can see just a little blood tear in his eye. Jorfin pulls out his book again. He flips to the other side of the book. He points in a different spot. He has an incantation of words. One of his other stars blinks out, and you hear the words "separate." And this, like when you saw the old X-Men cartoon, and Banshee used his loud voice to make that reverberation. That kind of comes out of his mouth, and it hits that dome. And it starts to shake and shake and shake, and nothing happens. And he kind of like, with the energy of that, he kind of falls to his butt and he pants a little bit. And he says, "That did nothing." And he starts kind of just going through his book again, waiting for somebody else to do something.
Come on, we should keep moving. We should keep moving.
All right, Soot, you're up.
So it's just stuck in its little ball then. It just like put up a shield.
Yes.
I want to keep moving away from it, but while we run by it, I'm going to do a pot shot with my blunderbuss, see if that does anything.
Nice. All right, go so for it.
Blunderbuss away.
Yeah, do it.
What is it? It is... Oh, plus five. Everything's plus five. No, that's a 2 + 5 = 7. I miss. Right. It just like blasts off all... It did nothing. The blunderbuss did nothing.
Yeah, like your silverware comes out and just goes, nothing really comes
up.
I
have tons of silverware from that woman's shack that we stayed at, so I've got plenty of ammo.
All right, Black Claws, what are we doing?
So I'm going to use my feline agility. So when I move, when you move on your turn in combat, you can double your speed till the end of your turn. So I'm going to do a normal movement using my feline agility.
Nice.
And queue up another agonizing blast.
Nice. All right, go for it.
Let's see, 15-21 versus.
You got it.
Agency.
All right,
and that's 3 + 4 = 7 points.
Okay, so tell me exactly. Give me some flavor.
So the thing, you know, it does the ball, and you know, Soot pulls out, cocks his blunderbuss, like. And I'm like, come on. So I like, you know, high step it out, try to get some distance. And, you know, when I see everybody slow behind me, I stop and I just turn around and mutter some words and just like throw my hands out in the general direction. And again, this dark eldritch green and yellow and black and purple energy just sort of like shoots out and contacts the sphere. And there's a little bit of a crackle and...
Ooh.
It takes damage. I don't know. Something happens.
And it totally takes damage.
You're muted.
So what happens is, just like if, like in a movie, when you see somebody with like a thing of ice and you crack that ice and it kind of splinters off and it makes this kind of shriek and the ball explodes.
Ooh.
And it's almost like it breaks its own shell and like comes out with its arms fully extended and makes that excruciating noise. And as it's screaming, you can see just like projectiles of like mucusy yellow come out of its mouth as it yells. And it comes straight at you again, Black Claws, because you're the only one that seems to be doing any damage to it.
Another reason why I wanted to get space, then it's only me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because I'm a terrible GM and forgot how far we are from this door, we're going to say you're at the door. So yes. You can decide what you're going to do as far as now you're at this door. What are you going to try to get in? Are you going to try to defend yourself? What are you going
to
do?
Do I have time to try to open the door, or is it like rushing me this round? Like it's turn, right? Because technically I can't do anything.
Yeah, just because I want to give you a little something, because you've been doing so well against it, I will let you have a preparation of what you want to do. So like, it's coming at you, do you want to ready an action, do you want to defend yourself, or do you want to try to get through the door?
I think I'm going to try to get through the door, right? Because technically opening a door is a free action. So like if I end my turn at the door and it comes running, we'll have that like scene of it coming, it's charging, you think it's going to hit it, and I just like rip the door open and jump inside as it rushes past. Or it hits me and, you know, I don't open up the door.
I would like you to roll me a acrobatics check.
Oh, shit. I could actually maybe do that.
Nice. And it's going to be a DL of 15.
Oh, I only got a 13.
Okay.
10 on the die.
All right. So, yeah. So you do the thing where I hope this works. You like open the door, hoping it's not locked. It isn't. You push it in. You run in. You go to turn like you're going to be like, come on, everybody. After the enemy is going to go past you, instead it fully engulfs you in a tackle and you both tumble to the ground.
Oh, don't like that.
And as you are kind of rolling and you end up on your back, you look up and this thing pulls one of its arms up and is looking to come right down on your throat. And just because my dice are also not doing well for me today, it goes like it's going to go right for your throat and misses like a foot from your neck and hits the ground and gets lodged into the ground.
I get both of my claws up and I rake it down its face.
Nice.
Nice. Okay. Normally, I wouldn't let you do that just because it's not technically your turn. But again, you've been rolling.
Declaration of intent.
There you go. Actually, let's do that. Let's do that. Just because now I feel like I'm giving you too much. I like this idea. Ooh, okay. All right. All of a sudden, as you're like, okay, this is going to be it. I'm just going to take my claws and rake it across its head. You see people just all of a sudden, or beings just all of a sudden, just jump on this thing's back. Just one after another, after another, after another, after another. And you see daggers plunging. You see hands on its chest and its face. And it's reverberating with magic. You see somebody with that one guy with that red spear. And it takes it down and plunges it into what it thinks is its heart. And it wails. And it just keeps getting stuck and prodded. And burned and singed and iced, and it makes this rumbling noise within it. I would like you both to roll me a perception check, please.
Oh boy.
Six again.
Sound great.
I'm a little distracted here. Ooh,
17, 19.
Nice. Deep within your head, Soot, you hear a voice that you've never heard before, and it tells you, get them away now.
I start yelling at everybody to get away.
Get away from it! Get away from it!
And everybody scatters. And a lot of people are just like, huh? What? I don't, you know. And this thing lights up in yellow. There. It reverberates. It cracks.
Shit. I'm stuck! Soot!
Yeah, I'm running. As I tell everyone to get away, I'm running towards Soot. I mean, Black Claws.
Okay, all right.
I'm stuck.
Soot, roll me a dexterity check.
Yeah, I'm going to try to like yank him out of there.
Could I claw him and then try to scoot away?
Roll an attack for me as well.
Am I adding anything to this or am I?
Only what you got.
I mean,
I rolled a 20.
Just dexterity.
Nice.
Oh, no, I did a 5 + 3, 8.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to let John do this. So. Black Claws, I want you to describe how Soot tries to help you, but instead you help yourself. and maybe Soot as well.
Yeah, right. I trip and now I'm underneath it.
So I like just instinctively yell out. He says, get away. And I'm like, shit, I'm stuck. I can't get out. And this thing is just like wrestling me to the ground. It's like pulling its fist back up for another punch. And it's like, and I see him coming and I'm like, no, I shouldn't have called it. Like, he's going to get hurt. And I just take both, you know, I kind of relax and it, you know, pushes down and like pulls its fist back. And I just do both claws up and just right down both, like all over its face and just rip down with all of it. And as it like I'm assuming then like rears back. I just scoot, and as like I'm like down on like my hands and knees, and I'm like trying to like stand up and start running. I just like tackle him down so that we both go the other way when this thing explodes or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's basically what happens. It's just, you know, it looks like something ready to explode, and it does. And it's just that yellow viscous liquid that you saw when it was screaming just goes out everywhere and just melts anything in its path, just melts this thing and that thing. And it hits some of the books and starts some of the books on fire, and it hits the ground and it melts the ground. And it, nice holes and stuff like that. And some of the people that see that the books are on fire, they start going over, and some people use like spells to like throw water at it to get it to calm down. So just in case that's the book we actually need. And everything is silent.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called you because you said get away, but I didn't. I was stuck.
No, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. We're fine. Okay. You did great.
I appreciate that you came. I already caused you too much trouble already.
No, stop it. It's over now. We can all go home. We did it.
Well, we have to go in. We can't leave.
Oh, yet. We got to get the book. That's right. God damn it.
This is only the first trial of many.
Wait a minute. I look at my stars lit up. Are they still doused?
I'm gonna keep asking.
If he yeah, not, do that, why didn't he turn our stars off? We wouldn't even have to do this shit. I don't
know. We have to. What is he? Yeah.
What an asshole.
Orphan. How are you turning your stars off?
He's just like, I'm just using these spells I've learned through what's happening through me. I've learned them. Doesn't mean they won't come alight again. Usually the next day they come alight again.
So maybe it's not a countdown then. Maybe it's just.
Oh, there's so much to be learned. I don't know for sure.
We just gotta let's go get this book. Can we just get this book?
Should I start the ritual so we can get this book?
Yeah, let's get inside and get everybody inside and close
inside.
The door.
Everybody inside.
Let's get inside.
Yeah, so everybody's inside. You shut the door. He says, yeah, he's like, I can do this. It actually shouldn't take me very long. He's like, I just need to concentrate. I just need some peace and quiet. So if you guys would just let me do it, I will sit over here and I will do my spell and we will find this book.
I'm sure that won't be a problem. We all just collapse in exhaustion.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that thing was so scary. I just
crazy.
Oh, everything
this
is so
very
evil.
Irresponsible creature to have near a place like this.
I don't think it was planned. And
maybe
he's
a former librarian. I mean,
right?
Yeah, it could be anything. That,
you know. Creatures that were undead, right? So like maybe it could be like, you know, he went crazy because, you know, like he's stuck here and turned into a thing. Nobody comes to the library anymore. I don't
nobody
know
nobody goes to the library. Yeah,
yeah,
defunded says, okay. Look at the place.
All right, well you guys are having your fun. I'm gonna do this ritual. Okay. So he goes and he finds a nice spot to sit, and he's doing his ritual, and yeah, he's flipping through his book again. He finds the thing he has written down, and he kind of moves his hand around the glove, and you kind of see it light up, and you see it darken. You see it light up, you see it darken.
Oh.
And it's almost like a pulse, almost like a heartbeat. Oh. And he just keeps saying the things. And then he kind of claps his hand on top of the glove. And as he picks up his hand, the glove is fully immersed in this energy. And it's kind of a almost like a light fuchsia. And it just kind of like ebbs and flows throughout this glove. And it almost kind of starts to guide him. And he starts to kind of turn around and head towards where this glove is guiding him. And then you hear whispers. Psst, like what becomes one becomes many.
I don't like it.
And then you hear a voice say, oh, they're here. And then you hear another voice repeat that, oh, they're here. And then you hear another voice repeat, oh, they're here. And you hear another voice until you hear five voices repeat the same thing. And you hear the voice again say, you see the, you hear the voice say, oh, brother told us they would come. Brother told us where they'd come. Brother told us they would come.
Is this the voice in my head, or is this, does it sound like, or is it all around us?
We can it's hear all it. Around. Everyone can hear it.
Sound like the voices and, that was in my head that time with the warning?
No, it was not.
Okay, that was okay.
And you like, everyone's just kind of looking around like, what is going on? And from different spots start appearing different Oni in different spots.
Oh, no.
We're following him. Like, if he leaves the immediate area, we're following him. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't be by himself, so.
Yeah, for sure.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.